Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
My name is Steve Jordans. I'm a professor of psychology here at the University of Toronto Scarborough. Academics are all about learning, all about discovering new things, and curiosity is really the force that drives all of that. And so understanding that driving force, how it works, and how we can harness it is a big part of what we do.
And they would go through all of these books and say, for every million words, how many of them are sustainability?
When we're thinking, what is curiosity-driven learning? How can we actually express that in a psychological way? We often think back to the work of Bluma Zeigarnik. Bluma was very famous for saying, the mind does not like unfinished business. Anytime we get part of a story but we don't get the conclusion, we crave to know that conclusion. And so the mind keeps coming back to that. And that's really what curiosity typically is. We typically get a germ of something, enough to make us think, huh? And then we want to get the rest of that story, where the mind does not like just stopping there. The really important thing to understand about curiosity is the mind hates unfinished business. And so if you start to introduce something, or if you catch their mind, but then don't complete that thought or that idea, then they want to keep thinking about it more. And so in the classroom, we'll often begin a class with something that's meant to induce curiosity. Something that's supposed to grab their mind and make them wonder, how is that happening? And then we don't tell them. Because one of the things I'm going to try to do is to induce some curiosity, get you thinking about something. And I don't want you just to resolve that curiosity. I don't want you just to go find the answer too quick. I want you to kind of carry that through the lecture. And then by the end of the lecture, then I would like to resolve that curiosity and show you how it all fits together. So in the classroom, what we'll often do is begin the class by trying to induce familiarity. And we do that by telling, you know, part of a story that is perhaps unexpected or surprising to them, but we don't tell them the whole story. We tell them enough to get them thinking, how could that work? And then we just leave it and we go through a lecture where we talk about things that once they all stack up and come together, they explain that thing we talked about in the beginning. So in the meantime, the students are trying to figure out, how does this all fit? And it's an approach we use to keep them engaged, to kind of keep their phones on the table and their eyes on us and their ears on us. And hopefully that makes for a better lecture experience for them. And it certainly does for us because we have their attention and that's what's important. Let's start with that headline. Father ruled insane in boy's decapitation. Wow, this sounds like a conspiracy theory kind of thing, doesn't it? So this is a sort of story that I want you to understand is out there, and I want you to think about this, kind of think about it sort of like a detective, but like a detective that understands the brain and is trying to understand what possibly could be happening in a person's mind and a person's brain for this sort of behavior. So, Louisiana.
It was just so engaging, and it kept me hooked till the very end because I really wanted to know what he was hiding from so long. So I think that kept me curious. When I came to know the syndrome, I finally had the peace in my head. I was like, oh, thank God. Like, finally, I know what it was all along. But I think, yeah, then I felt this satisfaction in my head that, oh, finally, I was curious all along. Now I'm calm and composed, and now I know what it was.
How do you work against students following their curiosity on their screens?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. So we're competing, and that's one of the things we have to learn about technology now, that every student has something that's right in front of them trying to pull their mind out of the lecture. And if we don't compete with that, if we present sort of a boring, traditional-style lecture, we're going to lose. And so that's really what curiosity is about to an extent, is trying to say, hey, this what's going on in here is more interesting than what's going on there. And it's worth your time to kind of plug in and pay attention. And the best way to do that is to get them wondering about something. Get them thinking, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. How could that be? And so that's, you know, a good way to actually put it, is curiosity is our way of competing with technology.
Hey, to look at your phone.
I was tempted. I did turn it off and put it in my bag because I know, like, I've been in his AO1 class, so I know he has a very interactive class. So I knew something was coming, but I was tempted. Yeah. He is a very attractive professor, but what he does very differently in comparison to a lot of my other professors is that he doesn't really start with an object, like a list of objectives for the lesson. So instead, he actually focuses more on like a problem or an interaction that he can have with students. And so students can start like thinking about what the topic may be or how we must be able to find like an end mean for it. And so it kind of just brings you along like a journey. And so he connects like all the slides together. And it really does create more like a storytelling point of view rather than just like, this is what this lecture is about.
Once curiosity kicks in, they're not learning now because they want to get an A or because there's some sort of reward, some sort of external thing they're chasing. They're learning now because they want to know. And that sort of learning, that sort of intrinsically driven curiosity is the most powerful form of learning there is. Now, as they're learning, as they're finding out things, it's important to them. It's putting a puzzle together. They're starting to get pieces of this puzzle. And so every piece becomes a little more valuable and you know, as they put together that puzzle. And so that's really why we like it. You can say, hey, listen, students, and maybe you'll get an A. That's what we call extrinsic rewards. Or we can say, what do you think is going on here? Isn't this weird? And that is a whole different kind of mindset and a much more powerful one for learning.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.